Today's scripture will be read by Agnes.
Today's scripture is taken from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. The story of where Jesus visits Martha and Mary. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." May God bless the reading of his word. Good morning. So it is a bright and beautiful, sunny morning. Many of us are wearing our wonderful Ministry Walk t-shirts. If you are walking or helping to volunteer and haven't had your t-shirt yet, definitely see Katie after the worship service for your t-shirt. It'll be a wonderful day as we walk around the community to not just raise funds for the church, but to help people to know that our church is present in the community, to share about our church, and to also offer prayer and just faith sharing in the community as well. Let us pray first before you hear the word. Lord, I ask that you guide my words, that they speak your truth as we reveal the scripture. And Lord, we know that you speak through us in many ways, especially through the scripture. I ask, Lord, that we reflect on these words and that we hear how you are speaking to us, and that our reflections be pleasing in your sight, for you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So we continue to talk about being called, and as I've shared with you the past two Sundays, the importance of when you start to think about being called by God, how important it is to first truly understand and have a better understanding and knowledge of the scripture passages. I thank the people this past week who either emailed me or responded on Facebook with different scripture passages, and I'll send an email out this week inviting more people to share a scripture passage. It is the hope that during the week you took the time, whether it was daily or even just once this week, to open the Bible and to read the Word of God and to see how the scripture passage you were reading speaks to you. For when we look at the different people that were called by God throughout the scriptures, we can learn how their lives were and how they can parallel our lives today. And we think about how God calls us. And when you think about the people that I've spoken about so far, Abraham and Jacob and Moses and Samuel, and this morning we'll look at Martha, we want to think about how they heard God's call. And when they heard God's call, they were being challenged to do a new thing. And so that's why I think sometimes God calls us, but it's hard for us to hear him calling us because he is asking us to do a new thing. And for many people, doing a new thing is quite hard. So to be honest, when I was getting ready for church, last night I was thinking about what I was going to wear. I thought, okay, well, I'll just wear, you know, usual nice Sunday clothing. And then I said, well, maybe I could wear my sweatpants because later I'll be doing the ministry walk. And then when I put on the sweatpants this morning and then later changed to the bright, beautiful ministry walk t-shirt, I felt uncomfortable. It was a new thing that I'm not used to on Sunday morning. That's just a slight new thing that made me feel uncomfortable, that makes me kind of think, oh, maybe I should talk lower like this. But then imagine if God called me to do something completely different in my life, something completely changed and different. How comfortable would I be then? Would I be hesitant? And would I not even want to do that thing? And when we look at the people that God calls, we know he calls so many people throughout the scriptures. He calls each and every single person to let go of what they were currently doing in their lives, to listen to his call and do a new and exciting thing. We know all the way back to when God called Noah. He said to Noah, "I need you to build this ark, to do this new thing." And Noah did just that, even though his neighbors and people in the community thought he was crazy. When God spoke to Ruth, he said, "Ruth, I know you have lost your husband. I know your mother-in-law has lost her husband. I know you're not sure where you're going to eat or live, but I'm calling you to do a new thing, Don't go back home, Ruth, to the comfort of your family who is more likely willing to welcome you, but instead go with your mother-in-law to her hometown to do a new thing, to start a new life. Or when God called the disciples through Jesus Christ and Jesus said, put down your nets and follow me and I will make you fisher of men, the disciples changed their lifestyles. They were no longer fishermen, they were no longer a taxpayer, they were no longer farmers, but instead they put down their nets or put down the jobs they were doing and did new things as they followed Jesus and helped spread the word and love about God. Or when God spoke to Mary and said, Mary, you will bear the child and he will be called Emmanuel. Mary, as a young teenager woman, was going to do a new thing. A thing that, yes, was even frowned upon by her own society, but it was a new thing that God was calling her to. So all the people that we've looked at in the scriptures, and the eight people that we were focusing on, these eight people that God called and said their name not just once, but twice in a row. When God said, Abraham, Abraham, he was telling him he was going to do a new thing. Because Abraham's faith was so strong, he was willing to sacrifice his son at that mountain on the altar. But instead, God said, no, you do not need to sacrifice your son. I know how strong your faith is in me. And instead, I will give you these lands and much generations, a new thing for your family and life. Or when God called Jacob, and said to Jacob, yes, go see your son Joseph. Do not be afraid. Do this new thing and ask for forgiveness and see that he will help care for you. Or when God called Moses, and he said, Moses, from the voice of the burning bush that said out to Moses, you are to do a new thing, to no longer be a shepherd as you have been for the past 40 years, but instead to be my person, my spokesperson, to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And last Sunday when we talked briefly about Samuel, and God called Samuel, a young boy in the middle of the night, to tell Samuel to do a new thing. Samuel was no longer going to be Eli, the priest's helper, just reading the scripture to this blind priest. But instead, Samuel was to be a voice for God, reading the scripture and translating the scriptures and telling of God's word to the people, a new thing. So nothing is different than when we see this morning in the story of Martha, how she is going to be challenged to do a new thing. But before we talk about Martha's background, I want you to think of two things. One is hospitality. What do you describe as being hospitable, or what do you think about when I say the words hospitality? So maybe think about that for 30 seconds, or even if you want to, write on the back of your worship bulletin. What does it mean to be hospitable, or what is hospitality? Okay, so you have that down. And now I also invite you to think about, what does it mean to be faithful? What do you describe as a faithful person, or what were adjectives you would use for the words faithful, or what your definition is of faithful? What does it mean to be faithful? So now I invite you to, if you're willing, to just share a few words or one word or your definition of hospitality or faithful. Is anyone willing to do that? Any brave people? How about faithful? What did we put? Kelsey.
Say it.
Devoted, yes. Devoted, what else? Gaius? Ooh, full of hope that God will do something. Some other things for faithful is consistent in your practices, where you faithfully do something over. Another thing is to fully trust, and another thing is to be devoted to something or someone over others. So there are many definitions for faithful, but we all kind of get the idea. to be devoted, to trust, to know that God will be there, to be consistent in your practices. That is definitions of faithful. And then what about hospitality or hospitable? Can people share a word or two that they put for that word? Anything? Dave? Taking care of physical needs, yes. Any others? Terry? To make others feel welcome, definitely. Any others? So those are definitely, and hopefully you did have a chance to think about or wrote something down, good and great definitions, to take care of needs and to make people feel welcome. These are not foreign words. We know what it means to be faithful, and we know what it means to be hospitable. We would even say these are very good qualities of a good Christian. So in the story of Martha that we see in this morning's passage, I like to think that Martha unfortunately gets a bad rep. She is a person who is actually criticized in the Bible by Jesus. If you look through other times when Jesus criticized people in the scriptures, it was often because he was criticizing a priest or a scribe or a Pharisee, a person who he knew was false in their faithfulness, a person who he knew was abusing their power, as the priests and scribes and Pharisees were doing. Or when Jesus was criticizing people who were lacking faith or questioning his own actions in faith, Jesus, yes, even criticized the disciples when he knew some of them were being unfaithful to him. But here, Jesus is criticizing a person who was not lacking in faith. He was criticizing a person who was not walking into him. And Martha never questioned him, but yet Jesus is criticizing her. And Martha gets known then as this woman in the scriptures who Jesus criticized because she's not being faithful. But yet in Martha's mind, if you put yourself her in her mindset, she is being both faithful and hospitable. We know that Martha was ready, they say, to serve Jesus when he was in her house. She was ready to be called by the Lord. But if remember a quote that I said to you a few Sundays ago, that when God calls us, he does not call the equipped, but God equips the called. Again, God does not call the equipped, but he equips the called. So as equipped as Martha thought she was, as faithful as she thought she was, as hospitable as she thought she was, God was calling her in a different way, and he would then equip her as well. Thinking about Martha being so faithful, she was ready and willing that when Jesus entered her city, she opened her home to him. It doesn't say Martha and Mary's home. It says Martha opened her house to him. And she was very, very hospitable. Because you know in biblical times, it was so important to be hospitable, even to strangers. Especially if you look at the author of Luke, he talks throughout the different scripture passage in the book of Luke about different times of people being hospitable, about being welcoming, about taking care of people's needs. In fact, in Luke chapter 10, right before the passage about Martha, there is the passage about the Good Samaritan. And we know one of the key stories about the Good Samaritan is showing hospitality. For if you know in Luke 10, verse 29 to 37, in the story of the Good Samaritan, we know a man was beaten by robbers, left for dead on the side of the road. And we know in this passage that people passed him by. We see a priest pass him by and does nothing to help him. We see a Levite pass him by and does nothing to help him. And it is finally when a person from Samaria, a person who is a stranger, sees this person beaten on the side of the road, the Samaritan helps this person, takes him to an inn, and even gives money to the innkeeper for the man to stay overnight. He is showing hospitality. He is caring for his needs, and he is helping him to be welcomed. Luke is full of stories of hospitality. So then it makes sense that when Jesus comes to Martha's town, Martha is showing hospitality and how faithful she is. She's stepping up and she knows all the tasks that she has to do. But hospitality can be a tricky thing. What is your meaning or your purpose for being hospitable? A couple of years ago, in 2001 and 2002, I had the chance to work with a campus ministry at the University of Hawaii, the Methodist Campus Ministry. And we had a student house that the students and I lived in. The house was two stories, and both floors had, you know, full bathrooms, and both floors actually had kitchens as well. So one summer, I lived on the first floor. I had the kitchen to myself. I had my own bathroom. And four students lived on the second floor. They also had their own kitchen and restrooms and stuff. And the tradition at this Wesley house was once a week we had a community meal on Sunday. So I would go upstairs and have this community meal with the students. Sunday was also the day that I had to check their chore list to make sure they had done their chores during the week. Honestly, a lot of times I know the students did it, you know, Sunday at 4:30 p.m. right before I came up for dinner at 5. But that was fine. They did their chores. They were hospitable. We had a great meal together. They were so welcoming. One of the students was an art student. She was always showing me her room and her latest art project. Another student loved cooking, so he'd invite me into the kitchen to taste some of the things he was making for our dinner. It was a great time. But there was a time during that summer when my restroom downstairs was being worked on. So then I had to go upstairs to use one of the restrooms where the students lived. And what I saw on Sundays was not what I saw during the other days of the weeks when I went up to use the restroom. The art student whose room was usually nice and neat when she'd invite me in and was hospitable and showed me her art projects was paint all over the place and clothes with paint on it on the floor. It was quite messy. The student that was the cook and loved inviting me into the kitchen to taste what he was cooking would shove stuff in the refrigerator and sauces on the counter. There was one point where he'd left something cooking on the stove and ants were crawling on that pot, and it was just a big mess. The students finally came to me and said, "You know, Eva, we know your bathroom is still going to be worked on for the next week, but could you give us a schedule of when you're going to come up and use the restroom?" Now, how possible is that? I can maybe say, okay, I'll shower every morning, but I cannot predict my other bathroom needs, the schedule, right? Their hospitality that they showed me so wonderfully on Sundays during our community meals quickly changed the other days of the week. The purpose and motive they had for being hospitable to me was knowing that they had to have their chores done, was knowing that we had to have this community meal together. It was a requirement of the house. They weren't really showing hospitality because they wanted me to feel more welcomed, maybe, or to help care for my needs. So Martha, in a way, she began to be in this hospitality mode of really needing to just do A, B, C, D to be a good host. But she wasn't really truly thinking about who was before her, that Jesus was before her. She was distracted, they say, with all the tasks that she had to do. And she was so distracted with everything that she had to do before her that she got very, very upset when she saw that her sister, Mary, was instead just sitting by Jesus' side, listening to Jesus' word and not doing anything at all. So Martha then questions what is happening. They say that she was so distracted, she thought to herself, "Lord," or she said to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." Martha is focused on this form of hospitality that she does not focus on Jesus who is before her, this great teacher, this great leader, someone who she needs to learn from. So she even is so focused on these tasks that she has about being faithful in that way and being hospitable in this way that she doesn't understand the importance of listening to the Lord. She even says, "My sister needs to help me, and you have to tell her to help me." But Jesus answers her in this morning's passage from verse 41, saying, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." He tells her there is need of only one thing. Not many things, but only one thing. And Jesus tells her there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will never be taken away from her. Jesus is telling Martha to learn there is only one thing that is important when he is before her, to hear his words, to learn from him. So when we think about being called by God, as we grow closer in the scriptures and learn more about what God wants for us through his word, we also need to know the one true important thing is Christ, to listen to Christ, to learn from his teachings, to focus also then on the gospels and the words of Christ. For Jesus is saying that God will equip you if you focus on me, the one true thing. This is a great passage from the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 to 14. That says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God knows the plans he has for us. He declares them that he will prosper us. He will not harm us. And God plans to give us hope and a future. Know that God has great plans for you. Just be willing to hear him, whether it's studying the scriptures more intently, whether it's now focusing on Jesus Christ and learning from his teachings and his actions and how we can be Christ-like and disciples of Christ. To then know that Martha was not doing the right thing when she was busy with the task and not listening to Jesus, but then to see how Mary chose the better thing, the one thing, to listen to Jesus Christ who was before her. For we know our faith will keep us strong, but we must really truly hear how God is calling each and every one of us. He calls us to be mothers, he calls us to be spouses, he calls us to be uncles or single great friends. He calls us in so many different ways. And to serve the church, to be disciples, to be teachers, to be preachers, to be counselors, to be a prayer partner. He calls us in so many different ways. We just have to be willing to listen and hear that call. And then when he calls us, to know that we can turn to Christ to know how to be equipped to do that. So as we look further at Martha next Sunday and at Jesus and at Paul and other people, we'll see how they then turned to Christ to be equipped for the ministry that God was calling them to do. Let us pray. Lord, we know in this busyness of today's world, we do want to be faithful and we do want to show hospitality. But we ask, Lord, that you guide us when our minds become clouded with the too many tasks that we think we have to do, but instead focus on the one true task, the one true thing before us, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you continue to speak through us through your word and the scripture, the Holy Bible, and the way that we can learn from it. And Lord, we know that you will give us, by an example, the life of Christ as he walked, as he taught, as he healed, as he was hospital and showed love for all. But Lord, we want to be your faithful sons and daughters as we continue to hear how you are calling us and continue to answer that call with "Here I am." Amen.